This is Gavin Dahl with the KVNF Regional Newscast. Coming up, Jody Peterson looks at the contentious issue of wolf reintroduction in Colorado. Plus, oil and gas lobbyists are pulling two proposed ballot initiatives intended to block new energy regulations. And communities of color are vulnerable to being undercounted in the U.S. Census this year. Now, headlines. Delta County announced Wednesday that the sheriff's office is a COVID-19 outbreak site, with four sheriff's office employees testing positive. After suffering from mild symptoms while self-isolating, the individuals have recovered and are back to work, according to the county. For the second straight year, the Colorado Division of Insurance anticipates that individual health insurance premiums will be less expensive in the state thanks to reinsurance. This month, the DOI released preliminary info on plans for 2021, which are available for public comment through August 26th. Officials are claiming that the reinsurance program for health plans not from an employer will save Coloradans an average of 17.4% over what premiums would have been without reinsurance. Originally passed out of the 2019 state legislative session, the reinsurance program was renewed for five more years in the recently concluded session at the Capitol. By paying a portion of high-cost claims, reinsurance allows insurance companies to lower premiums for individual plans. Then the amount of money the federal government pays on Affordable Care Act tax credits goes down, so funds are passed along to the state to fund the reinsurance program. For 2021, the same eight companies from this year will again offer plans on the individual market, with Rocky Mountain Health Plans and Bright Health expanding into new counties. This brings the number of counties with only one company selling individual plans down from 22 to 10. We'll post links to the latest info from the Colorado Division of Insurance on our website at kvnf.org. A new report from the Western Organization of Resource Councils finds Western coal mine reclamation could create thousands of jobs in rural communities. Reclamation can provide immediate job opportunities for local workers in the wake of a mine shutting down. The process takes approximately 2 to 3 years, with anywhere from 1,600 to 5,000 full-time equivalent workers needed for each year of cleanup. By comparison, surface mines in Colorado, Montana, North Dakota, and Wyoming employed 7,500 workers in 2019, according to the report. We're linking to it at kvnf.org. A political group that supports Colorado's oil and gas industry says it is withdrawing two ballot initiatives that would have tried to block new energy regulations. Capital Coverage reporter Scott Franz has more.
The announcement came shortly after Governor Jared Polis said he is urging state lawmakers to avoid pursuing any new energy regulations next year. Polis is calling for a two-year truce between conservation groups and energy companies. He says a law passed last year giving local governments more regulatory power needs more time to work. He also says he will oppose any ballot measures dealing with oil and gas. Polis's actions were welcomed by Protect Colorado, a political group supporting the energy industry. In response, they say they are dropping a ballot initiative seeking to stop local governments from banning natural gas hookups. Meanwhile, Ann Lee Foster, who is leading an effort to increase setbacks on oil and gas wells, says her environmental group will pursue a new setback initiative in 2022. I'm Scott Franz in Denver.
The U.S. Census is underway, but as the Mountain West News Bureau's Noah Glick reports, communities of color are particularly vulnerable to being undercounted this year.
More than 700,000 people of color are at risk of being undercounted in the census this year, and that's just in the Mountain West. That's according to a new analysis from Headwaters Economics. Patricia Hernandez-Goud is with the nonprofit research group.
We all want fair political representation, and since political representation is determined by the census, it's just a huge step backwards to not have communities of color be accurately represented in the census.
Hernandez-Goud says the pandemic is making this year even more challenging, as in-person visits have been delayed due to safety concerns. She says people are more likely to be missed if they live in dense urban or remote rural environments, are experiencing homelessness, or distrust the government. Meanwhile, President Trump signed an order aiming to exclude undocumented immigrants from being counted for congressional districts, a move that is being challenged in the courts. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Noah Glick.
According to the analysis, approximately 213,000 people of color in Colorado are vulnerable to being undercounted. Here's KVNF's Jody Peterson with a report on how some Western Slope ranchers and hunters view the idea of returning gray wolves to the state.
Ballot Initiative 107, if approved by voters in November, would direct Colorado Parks and Wildlife to develop a plan to reintroduce gray wolves. The state would compensate livestock owners for any losses caused by gray wolves. To find out how the return of these predators might impact Western Slope ranchers, KVNF spoke with Denver Post environment reporter Bruce Finley. Finley visited Moffat County earlier this summer and spoke with ranchers there. Finley reports that the presence of wolves could harm ranching operations and make it harder for ranchers to remain in business instead of selling their land to developers.
The operational disruptions on one hand, which is, you know, not just the direct predation on the cows, but they're watching also for impacts such as, you know, decreased cow conception rates if cows are under a constant state of alert. Ranchers that I talked with confided to me that they're bothered most at a deeper level by what they see as like a urban attack on agriculture. You know, one called it, you know, akin to twisting a stick in the eye. And they say their margins are thin, that they already faced a lot of challenges, especially as second home markets expand. You know, these homes that we see going into valley after valley that, you know, it transforms landscapes and ecology. And in that context, I hear ranchers saying the wolves could be a last straw, compelling those on the fence to sell out their private property. And their point seems to be that that would accelerate, you know, into new areas with the transformations that we've seen in Colorado as the population grows and as we have a development boom. You know, if voters order up more wolves, some ranchers are saying it'll jeopardize cooperation to preserve open landscapes, which city dwellers increasingly covet.
Hunters and outfitters also worry that returning wolves would diminish elk and deer herds. But proponents say that the presence of a key predator will make game populations more robust.
The proponents of introducing wolves have made the case that it's healthier for the ecosystem. The herds will get healthier. But my understanding from other states is that if you looked at the overall statewide numbers of elk, they're up, and so are hunting revenues. And the hunters that I spoke with are pretty on guard about this wolf introduction. I talked to some outfitters who said it'll drive them out of business.
Despite the concerns, it appears that a majority of Coloradans do support wolf reintroduction, and the measure seems likely to pass.
The polls, they show pretty strong support for this statewide measure, including support from residents of western Colorado. But, you know, at the end of last year, when the proponents had amassed more than like 200,000 signatures, those were mostly from voters who are concentrated in the urban Front Range population centers. This voter-driven reintroduction of gray wolves in Colorado, you know, would be an unprecedented assertion of rising urban demands for ecological integrity and of urban voices in determining the mix of species inhabiting public land.
And that was Bruce Finley, Denver Post environment reporter. For KVNF News, this is Jody Peterson.
That concludes the KVNF Regional Newscast. Thanks for listening.